Get your Bibles, please. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Tonight we're going to cover, believe it or not, one entire topic of the book of Proverbs. It's not a very frequently mentioned topic, but one in which I feel is important for all of us. And I want to help you tonight. We're going to take the topic tonight. Everybody look at me. I love you. We're going to talk about our enemies tonight, all right? And this isn't a political sermon in any sense of the word. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you'll look at me, we'll stay there for a moment. I'm going to make a few statements to introduce this, and you may or may not agree with my opening statements, but listen, and you will. Very few people have an enemy. Very few. An enemy is not someone with whom you disagree. An enemy is not someone who does not like you. Now, we all have a lot of those. An enemy is not someone with whom you don't like. An enemy is not even someone who is philosophically different than you. The word enemy here in the book of Proverbs, and honestly, if you look it up, it literally means someone who is actively opposing or aggressively hostile towards someone or something. An enemy is someone who harms or weakens. It literally means somebody who is trying to battle or conquer or destroy you. Very few people have somebody trying to destroy them. Now, you think because somebody said something mean that they're trying to destroy you. Wrong answer. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians 3. I'll show you something here. I'm going to let God tell us what he means. It doesn't need my interpretation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Go to the book of 1 Timothy and it should be on the page before it. Amen. Right before 1 Timothy. 2 Thessalonians 3. I want you to look at verse... Let's look at verse 13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle. Now notice something. What is that in reference to? That's in reference to what? The
word of God.
The Bible, right. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Watch this. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In other words, even someone who disagrees with us scripturally is not necessarily our enemy. I mentioned recently I have some friends that have kind of turned a different direction. They're going a different direction from what I believe some things in scripture teach. That doesn't mean that they're my enemy. And I love them as a brother. I'll admonish them as a brother, but it doesn't mean I'm going to spend any time with them. It says, have no fellowship, no time with them, but admonish them as a brother. Now, an enemy is not a casual disagreement. An enemy is someone who is aggressively, violently, and hostily opposing you. Let me show you what I mean. There are countries in this world with whom we disagree, but they're not our enemy. You know, we don't agree with the nation of Canada, but they're not our enemy. We don't agree with the country of Mexico, but Mexico is not our enemy. We haven't been in a war with Mexico since late 1800s. In other words, you can disagree with someone and you can be totally unlike them, but still not be an enemy to that person. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, I would call Iran our enemy. I would call Palestine our enemy. I would call some of the aggressive Soviet states in all actuality, Russia. But there are times that Russia has been an ally, not an enemy. Now, I disagree with him in many ways, especially because Russia supports those who attack us. Now, an enemy is someone trying to destroy or conquer you. Most people never go through life having someone trying to attack and destroy them on a regular basis. Let's face it. Now, an enemy is not even someone who hates you. Now notice that. You can hate someone without aggressively trying to destroy them. We used to call it, I can love your soul and hate your guts. I can love you enough to win you to the Lord, but that's about as far as it's going. The term enemy is a very strong term. It is not a term to be used lightly. God doesn't use it often. And I'll show you some things about that. But it doesn't mean someone who casually is disliking or disagreeing with you. When a husband and wife disagree, you don't become enemies. Now, some of you treat each other that way, but we shouldn't. I want to cover what Proverbs has to say. I really only have 3 points. It's only mentioned 4 times in the book of Proverbs. But I want to help you tonight. Here, Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Point number one is this: make peace with your enemies. Make peace with your enemies. You have to understand what God says here. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord. Now, what are our ways? Our ways is the pathway of life, or it is the principles, or they are the principles by which we live. In other words, how we live ought to make peace with our enemy. We ought to live so right that when the enemy attacks, we let right stand for itself and don't get into a mudslinging contest. Do you know if you get mad at somebody throwing mud at you and you start throwing mud back, you're in the same pig pen they're in? Too many of us condescend to where our enemy is, take on their tactic, and become just like them in attacking them. You bring peace to enemies by continuing to live right. Now, listen to this statement. Peace is not a result of a lack of conflict. Peace is a result of war. Peace is a result of conquering. So you conquer your enemy by living right. You beat your enemy by the way you live, not by the words you speak. So how you live your life determines whether you can be at peace with your enemy. This doesn't mean you make peace, but your living will shut down the intensity of the attack most of the time. And eventually, you'll win out. I have some enemies. I've been able to win some of my enemies back, and I've been at peace with many, or may I even say most of my enemies, because I don't change what I do. I've decided to live right. I haven't decided to go hold hands with them. I haven't decided to go fellowship with them. I just said, I'll stay here, do my job. You stay there, do your job, and we won't cross each other, and we'll prove who's right by our works. And I just keep my nose to the grindstone, don't care what they say, don't care what they do. I just keep doing what God said I should do, therefore I get peace with my enemy. I'm not upset when they say things. I'm not upset when they write things on my truck. I'm not upset when they tried to do some of those things. Thank God my enemies aren't smart. They can only spell four-letter words. You know, if you're going to have enemies, have dumb ones, amen? Yeah, buddy. Peace is a result of battle, and your living right will cause you to win out over your enemy. Let me show you what I mean. Let me bring it down right where we... Ooh, that thing has a delay on it. I got to get used to that. Right where we live. Now, listen to this carefully. I will be very cautious. The Catholic Church is the enemy of Christ. Therefore, it's the enemy of me. The doctrine of the Catholic Church is contrary to the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
They don't even consider themselves Christian. They consider themselves Catholic. Catholic literally means universal. The Catholic Church is the mother of harlots in the book of Revelation. The Protestant churches are the harlots. That's the Methodists, the Unitarians, the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans. Baptists are not Protestants.
You're right.
Baptists never came out of the Protestant movement with Martin Luther. Martin Luther killed more Baptists than the Pope did. Everybody doing okay? The Baptist church goes all the way back to Jesus. The Catholic church says Peter was their first Pope. Can I tell you something? Peter had a mother-in-law. And if he had a mother-in-law and no wife, he was stupid. Catholic Church didn't start until Constantine, 313 AD. And Constantine started the church because he had the political realm of the people, but he wanted more power. And he said, I need the religious power. We'll start the church, and the church can come under the state. That's why the Vatican is its own country. They not only are a religious capital, but they are a political capital. They run both. They want to have universal power over the entire world. Okay? And they go contrary to the Word of God. They use the Latin Vulgate Bible, which is a corrupt Bible that they wrote themselves. It's not God's Word. You don't pray to saints. Who are saints? Saints are sinners that make it to heaven and are saved on earth. If you have been born again, you are a child of God and you are a saint. You don't have to have committed or you don't have to have done a miracle. You don't have to have the church. Isn't it amazing how the churches have changed their doctrine through the years and say they're right, but the Word of God never changed? Now watch this. So the Catholic Church, the Catholic structure, the Catholic doctrine is an enemy of me. Promise you. Say, how do you win the battle? I'll show you. I go knock on their door. They say, oh, I'm Catholic. I say, that's okay. God can forgive you too. And I say that. And I'll open my Bible and show them how they can know for sure they go to heaven. And all of a sudden they realize what God said and they get saved. And they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Guess what? Even if they don't come to my church, I'm still winning the battle over the Catholics. Everyone that gets saved, we have started winning the battle, and I am at peace with it. Everybody understand that? Can I tell you something? Lighting a candle hasn't done anything for anybody. Did you know you can do this all day long and it doesn't do anything for you? Or you can do it this way. One's Orthodox, one's something else.
What does that mean?
Means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I guess. I don't know. I know it means some other things, but I'm not going to say them in the pulpit. All right. Anyway, there's so many thoughts that just should not be shared right there. Did you know, I don't care how many beads you count and pray, it doesn't do anything. Did you know you can pray to Mary, and guess what? Mary doesn't hear you. Mary's not God.
Yep.
Well, Mary was the mother of God, and Jesus would have to listen to his mother. That's humanism. That's wicked as hell. That means Mary was greater than Jesus. Well, we can pray to St. Christopher. How can someone in heaven other than God answer your prayer? It's idolatry. It is praying to idols.
Yes, sir.
It is praying to other men. And it is wrong. When the Pope gets up and says he can speak ex cathedra in the place of God, that's heresy, that's foolish, and it's wrong.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Don't worry, the lightning won't strike. The thunder may rattle, but because God's in agreement, not in against us. The Pope is not the vicar of heaven, he's the vicar of hell. To me, it's sad to watch a Catholic priest. I think there's a very sincere human being who is misled and misleading many people. How sad. How sad. The Catholic Church is religion man's way, not God's way. So, how do we win over that enemy? By our ways, which is knocking on doors, telling folks how they can get saved. Do you know I have won thousands and thousands and thousands of Catholics to Christ? I've won a lot of them. How many of you at one time were a Catholic? Raise your hand. I knew a couple of you were. I led Don to the Lord. He's back there grinning at me. I wondered. I never even asked you, did I? I don't even ask people anymore. I just go through it. Can I tell you something? I've watched many people, and we win that battle one at a time, and I get peace with it. When our son was in the Catholic hospital in Long Beach, California, Sister Fat Bottom in the ICU ward there, and I didn't get along. She was going to tell me what to do, and that just, it didn't work. Well, you can't go in there. He's sleeping right now. I said, excuse me? That's my son, has my blood, has my name, and you're not telling me what to do. Well, I'm Sister So-and-so. I said, you're not my sister. Get out of the way. And she looked at me. I said, ma'am, I am a Baptist preacher. Oh. Do you know when they saw me coming, all the nuns, I'm sorry, I almost said nuts, all the nuns just kind of evaporated. I didn't put up with that trash. I don't answer nobody that way. Just God. You see, when we live right, we can have peace over our enemy. Am I going to change the Catholic Church? No, I'm not. But I can have victory with each person I get saved out of there. So I'm at peace with it. I'm not on a crusade to change the Catholic Church. I'm on a crusade to preach righteousness, preach right, and get as many people saved as I can, snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, according to the book of Jude. And when I do that, I make peace, though I can't change the whole thing. I can save that one. I can reach that one. I can reach that one. I can reach that one. And that's how you make peace with your enemy. Can I tell you something? You may not win the war with some of your family. But can I tell you something? When you start living right, eventually you'll start winning some of the battles. And you'll have peace. It may take years. It may take decades. You may not win the whole thing, but eventually they'll call you. Always happens. Always does. But you have to keep living the right way. They may not ever be what you want them to be. That doesn't matter. But you can still win the war. All right, I got to hurry up here. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 17. Let's go to the next one. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse number 17. Oh, I love this. we would just live what God said, life sure would be fun, wouldn't it? Look at verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Here's the principle. Don't be glad at the fall of your enemy. Listen to this statement. I am very pleased that some people were not reelected. But that's not a fall. Everybody understand that? That is not a fall. That is a lack of success. But if one of them has this week something happened to them to where maybe they have a child that is killed or a spouse that dies or they get labeled with some terminal disease, even though I disagree with them politically, I would hurt for them. I would not be happy. Everybody understand that? Now, am I happy they're not in power? Mm-hmm. Wished a few more would have got whooped up. And don't believe all the spin that the media is telling you about the election. Just so you know, President Trump made unbelievable headway in this election. You realize 45 Republican representatives resigned or retired, and we still only lost the House by a few. You know, it's the second fewest in the last 100 years. President Reagan lost 26 in his first term. President Trump lost 27, maybe. Look how we look at Ronald Reagan now. So before you believe all the spin, realize we had 45 incumbents that didn't even run. And we still did real well. And honestly, President Trump was really smart. He campaigned for the Senate because that's where all the power is. And he whooped up on the Senate. He got rid of a bunch of rhinos in there. And what he now has, he has one more vote than he had before, or two more votes than he had before. But what he has is, he doesn't have John McCain. He doesn't have people like that that voted against him, that hate him. And who's the snowflake dude, Mike Flake, or whatever the flip-flop flake was, or whatever his name. He doesn't have people like that in there. Those people are gone. And he not only gained their seats, but gained even more than that with people that he campaigned for. 9 out of the 11 senators he campaigned for won. So when you start understanding those numbers, hang on, everything's okay. He was so smart today. He had a press conference. He foretold what he's going to do and what they're going to do. He said, I look forward to working with them. He said, but if they won't work with me, then there's going to be nothing done. And I'm going to tell everybody in 2 years when 2020 comes that they didn't do anything. They stopped it. And I can prove today that I told you that. One of the reporters said, are you ready to? He said, this person's getting ready to announce this person. He said, are you ready to announce that you're running in 2020? He said, yes. They said, are you going to have Mike Pence? Or are you going to have Vice President Pence as your running mate? He said, don't know. Didn't ask him yet. Mike, you here? Yes, sir. He said, you over there? Yeah. He said, you going to work with me? Yes, sir. Okay, we're both running. That's exactly how he handled it. I loved it. Oh, I love it. Say, what is that? He's not rejoicing in the fall of any enemy. Rejoicing in the lack of success? Nothing wrong with that. But that's not a fall. We should never take pleasure in anyone who falls, including our enemy. Okay, let me use an obvious one. Oh, Jim Baker. Y'all remember Jim Baker? Jim and Tammy Faye Baker from the 700 Club or the PTL Club or whatever. You know, past the Loot Club. You talk about a bunch of religious fakes. They were it. Sorry. Wrong doctrinally, wrong in every which way. But when Jim had some discretions, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't happy. I'm sorry he fell. I hurt for some. Who's the other guy? Jimmy Swigert. That's it. well-known, quote-unquote, people. But it grieved me when we saw them fall. Does that make sense? I am nothing like either of those men, but may I say this, I'm not happy either of them fell. Am I glad they're no longer as popular in fleecing God's people? Yes. Am I glad that they're no longer influencing America with bad doctrine? Of course I am. But I'm not happy that they fell. Does that make sense to everybody? If we step down and rejoice when someone falls, we're no longer better than our enemy. Matter of fact, we are exactly like our enemy. And then we become an enemy to someone else. When we were children, our parents taught us, don't laugh at somebody that falls physically. You know, somebody falls down the steps or falls in front of you. Don't laugh, go pick them up. Don't make fun of them because they fell. You say, why? Because you'll fall next. We should not let our heart or our emotions be involved. We need to step down to where our... We should not step down to where our enemies are. When you get your emotions involved in your enemies and you get all hostile, well, they did this to me and I'm going to get back at them. You've become just like them. That's why God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We are not to seek revenge. We're not to seek vengeance. We're not to step down to where our enemies are. Isn't it amazing? Somebody says something bad about you, so what do? You tell everybody what somebody else did to you. And you have become just like your enemy. You tell everybody else how bad that person is for saying something bad about you. And you are no better than your enemy at that point. Please don't take this the wrong way. You won't know who my enemies are. I won't tell you. I work hard at winning the enemy back. I'm not happy when they fall. True story. Matter of fact, I told Mrs. Lopez this story in the last week or so. There is a person in this town who was one of my fiercest enemies. I went into Walmart. Amen, Miss Mung. A few months ago. And I walked through the doors, and there he was with his wife. And my first thought was, I got to go right back where they're at. Well, I can exit stage left and go around the store, and hopefully they're out of that aisle. And honestly, I took about 4 or 5 steps this way. And the Holy Spirit said, what you running from? Conflict. I just stopped and said, conflict. He said, don't you think I can take care of it? I don't want you to. And I started walking towards him. I walked right up to him. And I reached my hand out and said, it sure is good to see you. They called me by name. We talked for a while. I asked about their children. They have some grown children now. One of them has a grown child that has a child that has some, they have a grandchild that has some troubles. And I began to hurt with them. I said, I am so sorry. I said, could I pray with you here? Stand right in the middle of Walmart. Put my hand on his shoulder, began to pray for him. You know, tears started running down that man's eyes. He said, Brother Bush, after all I've done to you, you'd stand here and pray for me and my grandchild. I said, why not, Doc? When I left, he hugged me. His wife was sobbing. And he said, but we want, I said, so it's been over for a long time. Don't worry about it. Don't go there. That's what God's talking about. I'm not a great example of it. By the way, My emotions did not want to do that. Say, what did you want to do? See me later, I'll tell you. It was not what I wanted. It wasn't what my emotions said to do. It was contrary to what a human being thinks. But isn't that what spirituality is? Let me show you what I mean. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to use our Bibles for a few minutes here. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 20. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 20. Actually, let's go to verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Huh. Revenge and vengeance. Sounds like anger, hostility, enemy, right? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. You want to beat him? Feed him. You want to have victory? Take care of him. It doesn't mean you sit down and have a meal with them. He said, feed them. I'm not about to go to dinner with that man and his wife that I saw in Walmart. But if I found out that he needed food, I'd make sure he got it. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Folks, this is... this is big boy and big girl Christianity here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. God says you're supposed to love your enemy. Love is an action word, not a feeling. Love isn't warm and squishy feelings of, boy, I just love you. No, love is an action. It's a giving word. Proverbs chapter 25. This is in last one in this section here. Proverbs chapter 25. God also said in the Old Testament something that he just said in the New Testament. Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse number 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. So God said in Matthew 5, and God said in Proverbs chapter 25, if he's hungry, make sure he gets fed. If he's thirsty, make sure you give him a drink. Not of arsenic either. It doesn't mean you go out and have a meal together and hold hands with each other and fellowship one with another. But you can make sure he gets food so they doesn't starve. God says, don't be glad when your enemy falls. Don't rejoice when he stumbles. No, God said, love him, feed him, make sure that he's got the water that he needs, take care of him. And it doesn't mean you spend time with him. Doesn't mean, but if you run into them, and I'm not talking about with your car, amen, Brother Joe. Pray for Brother Joe. He totaled another one this week. Somebody ran into him. Number 11 in 2 years. Just call him Brother Crash. All right. Don't let him teach your children to drive. most of them weren't his fault. I will give him credit. But may I say this? We're not supposed to sit down and fellowship with our enemy. But we're supposed to make sure they have their needs met. If I found out today one of my enemies needed something, I'd make sure they got it. Now, they may not know I supplied it. I had an enemy one time. They had a need. I took care of it. Later, they found out I had done something, and they made sure they sent it back to me and said, I don't want it from you. I said, that's okay. I tried. I tried. That's all you can do. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Last one here, and I've got about 6 or 7 minutes. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse number 6. Oh, I love this one. I love to hate it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, let me help you with something here. Here's the principle. Don't trust the public expression by enemies. Don't trust public expression by enemies. Let me show you what I mean. Everybody that you know and love someday will hurt you. Your parents are going to hurt you. Your children will hurt you someday. Your spouse is going to hurt you. Your preacher may hurt you, not intentionally. And I don't think that it means that people do that intentionally. But somebody's going to say something just at the wrong time, wrong place, wrong way. You take it the wrong way, and somebody's going to hurt you. Doesn't mean they're out to get you. We know that's going to happen. Folks, can I tell you something? Good night. I'm 51 years old. I love my mom and dad, but I'm sure I've said things that hurt them, and I know they've said things to hurt me from time to time. But guess what? That's life. Don't think they did it on purpose. I don't think they thought I did it on purpose. Now, I still love them, so when it comes, it doesn't surprise me and doesn't bother me. I'm sure in 29 and a half years of marriage, I've done something to hurt my wife. Say, what was it? I married her. wait a minute. I'm sure. But watch this. When an enemy, the Bible uses the word kisses there. It doesn't mean just all the time. That word kiss means to show affection publicly. When your enemy starts kissing on you, look out. It's like a politician. You know they're lying because their lips are moving. You all know what I mean? When they start saying, well, I promise we're going to do this, and I promise we're... And they've been in office for 67 years and haven't done one of those things. Guess what? It ain't going to happen. Now, enemies who suddenly act like your friends usually end up trying to destroy you. Somebody that's been hostile towards me, attacking me, and all of a sudden out of the blue, they start loving on me. Start looking for the knife to come in the back. It's coming. It's going to come. Because the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. They'll get close enough to you to use you to get to someone else, and then they're going to stick your throat. You see, don't trust when the enemy goes from attack to blowing kisses. Oh, I've won my enemy. I've won my enemy. We'll see. Give it time. You've heard me say over and over and over in the last 6 years, if my enemy walks through that door, I'll shake their hand and say, glad you're here. Have a seat. But they're not going to teach Sunday school next week. Say why? They're going to prove themselves an awfully long time before that happens. They're going to have to take as long as they've been my enemy and prove that they're not. That's scriptural. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Never cross over to the kisses of an enemy when you've been hurt by a friend. Never cross over from, well, my mom and dad hurt me, so I'm going to go over here. And you're going into enemy territory. Young people, listen to me. Mom and dad are going to make decisions that make you mad and may hurt your feelings, but can I tell you something? Don't cross over and be with the enemy, especially when you're hurt. That's when people get in trouble. That's what happens in a marriage. you have a spat with your spouse, and then you go to work and find somebody you can confide in, and then we have troubles. Happens all the time. It happens at church. Preacher says something that he clouded up and rained on your sin. He talking right at me. He didn't even know. I've been accused of tapping people's conversations at the dinner table. Right, Ellen? Good night. I haven't been within 5 miles of that table and I'm getting in trouble. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? When that happens, don't get mad and say, well, I'm going to go find somebody that's not quite that rough. Every once in a while, somebody needs to skin you. Every once in a while, if you ask your friend something, you ought to be able to handle the truth. My friends know. They call me brutally honest. You ask me, I'll tell you. Whether it helps or hurts me, I'll tell you. Now, I'll try to be nice, but when it comes to, I said try, I didn't say I'd accomplish, but an enemy will do whatever it takes to destroy you, even if they appear to love you to do it. Oh, this won't hurt you. You can get by with this once. Oh, come on, everybody's doing it. We call it peer pressure. And by the way, adults have peer pressure too. It's not just for teenagers. You see, what happens is this. We get hurt, and then we cross over somewhere else to get the love from the person that we didn't get it that hurt us, when that person really does love you. So God says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Just count on them coming. You know you're going to get it. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You birthed them puppies. They kicked you in the gut. They pushed on your bladder. They squeezed your backbone and grabbed your throat at the same time. And yet you loved that thing when it came out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, let's do it again. Something's not right with that thinking, I'm telling you. That's why God put it in a woman and not a man. He ain't going to go through that one once, let alone twice. Can I tell you something? You know that your child's going to hurt you from time to time. But you tolerate it to train them and teach them. Every child, no matter how good they were, said this: I don't like you, Mom. Every last one of them. They shouldn't say that. But you knew it was coming. It may have broken your heart once, but after the 10th time, it didn't matter. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You got used to it. It's okay. You don't have to like me, but I love you anyway. Don't go down to their level, amen? Why can we do that with a child, but we can't do that with each other? When your child does that, you don't throw them away and go get another one. Some of you wished you would have. Can I tell you? So many thoughts. Our enemies. Let me say this and I'm done. Very few of us really have an enemy. Very few of us really have somebody attacking us. It's not just a dislike. It's not even somebody that hates you. It's somebody that is actively opposing, trying to destroy and conquer you. But when you get one of those, God told us how to take care of it. And that's how we're supposed to live. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That was probably one of the deepest, hardest truths you'll ever have to take. Because when it comes, you're not going to want to live it, let me tell you.